Hey everyone, thank you for listening to Remake Rewind, where we decide if remake or rebooted movies should have been remade or rebooted. This episode's going to be a little bit different. We are missing Xavier. He had some personal stuff to take care of, so he should be back next week. So with me as always is Dustin. How are you doing, Dustin?
Hey, doing well.
So this week we are doing the 2000 AD comic character Judge Dredd. We're doing the 1995 Stallone movie and the 2012 Carl Urban movie, the new classic. Dustin, I know you're a pretty big Judge Dredd fan. I know you've got all the 1/6 figures and all the action figures and stuff. Oh,
yeah, heavy into Dredd.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Dredd head. I love the 2012 movie. That was one of the last things I did before I moved from the Sacramento area with my Sacramento friends before moving to San Francisco just shortly before I met you. So it holds a pretty big space in my heart, so I love that movie. So it's really easy for me to say that it's a better movie, but after going back through and watching the Stallone one, I was actually surprised. So I'm actually really excited now to talk about it after rewatching these movies.
I would agree. Honestly, I had seen the Stallone Dredd movie several times, but it had been like a pretty big gap since the last time I watched it. And watching it for the podcast, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a different lens, and I would say I enjoyed it much more than I expected to. Honestly, I think this is a movie that people love to shit on, and I don't know. I couldn't go to that place with it. I was impressed by several elements of the Stallone Dredd movie.
I had the same kind of feeling. So this was a movie that I had seen several times during my childhood. Most of the time I would be on like TNT or TBS or whatever, and I'd see the end. It was one of those movies where I'd always come in at the part where he's breaking back into the city. So I don't really remember the beginning and the middle as much. So going through and watching it this time, seeing it for everything, I enjoyed it. I also, like, in the last few years, the only kind of interaction I've had is I love How Did This Get Made. You kind of turned me on to that podcast a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
It's one of my favorite episodes, and I've listened to it 2 or 3 times, so I was just expecting to just watch this like piece of shit movie, but I don't want to say it was a piece of shit movie. So
I wouldn't say it is a piece of shit movie. I saw this movie in theaters when I was young, and I loved it. Do you remember when they had like books like that had like a bunch of stills from movies in them?
Yeah.
And like they would like have like how the special effects were done and like just all the sketches and all that shit. Yeah. And I had that book
all
for this movie.
All the concept art for the costumes and the different fittings. Like you might see a slightly different costume.
Exactly. Yeah. And I remember like poring over that. And then honestly, the movies would turn me on to the comics. And then I, you know, tracked down a bunch of the back issues and all the 2000 AD stuff and kind of got into that. And that was really what showed me the differences between like the 2000 AD comic book Dredd character versus what we got on screen with the Stallone movie. The Stallone movie doesn't really touch on the same kind of like satire of, you know, America or like this bleak American future. I thought for what it was as a sci-fi dystopian future kind of movie, it's not bad.
No, it's
pretty good.
So going into this episode, what do you think are some of the things we should be talking about? I definitely think obviously we need to talk about Dredd himself. I think possibly we should definitely talk about the universe, the world.
I think, yeah, the world is important because I think we get two very different, I mean, not only megacity ones, right, but just like the overall climate, you know, like what it's like on the street in that city and in the world. I'd like to touch on just the aesthetic, the design, you know, what these two different interpretations look like.
I'd also kind of like to talk about, I know you love the character Judge Death. And
yeah,
some of those other weird judge characters. I think at the end of this, after we talk about them, I want to have kind of a conversation about which one do you think fits the comic book more? Like, which one do you think like these more obscure, weird characters could pop up in? So
I think that sounds great.
Everything we need to talk about. So, just I like to summarize the movies really quick with the 1995 Stallone version. Kind of starts off with it's weird that with this movie being Judge Dredd, he's not the character that starts off. We don't really see him until about 10-15 minutes in. You start off with Rob Schneider's character, which I don't remember what his name is,
and also like the only Dredd you get, like the pure Dredd doing Dredd stuff, like being a cop, happens in that first sequence
in the first few minutes, and then he's a criminal, so it's kind of weird. Rob Schneider is pretty much the only thing I'd say is really bad about this movie, and I wouldn't necessarily say it's him. It's just
he's not bad. His character, he's playing the character, is awful.
And yeah, it's Dredd. Yeah, he's just a whiny guy.
I live here.
You know, the beginning was so yeah. The beginning was really bad because he just got off some like stint from hacking robots and ATM machines. They're like, oh, we're relocating you to Heavenly Haven. So he's thinking, like, he flies over and he sees this place that has like this really nice pool,
a swimming pool on the roof. Yeah, people, rooftop,
he's like,
pool.
That's got to be Heavenly Haven. It's like, why do you think you're going to this really nice place right out of prison? Like,
well, yeah, so, after 6 months in the ISO cubes at the Aspen Penal Colony, that's where it is. And actually, that is true to the comics. There is a prison in Aspen.
But yeah, that didn't make sense. But he shows up and there's like this, I think they call it a block war.
Block War is also ripped straight from the pages of the comic. Block War is a thing in the 2000 AD Mega City 1.
James Remar from like Dexter and Sex and the City and he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys who you just see as like a henchman or a villain at the beginning of the movie. He's in The Phantom.
He's great.
And
I like
he's
Remar.
A great character actor. He's just in things. He's one of those guys you're like, oh, it's that guy. So he starts off with it. He has a bit part at the beginning. He's leading the gang, and for whatever reason, he sees Rob Schneider's character and wants him to participate in the block war. I think it's Diane Lane's character, Judge Hershey, is kind of running it. Dredd shows up, and he kind of like...
She's like first on scene. She's waiting for backup. Yeah. She calls in backup, and it's just Judge Dredd.
And he kind of like shits on her a little bit where he's like, the lethal range of this weapon is 300 or 200 meters. Yeah. You're 300 meters. Why are you still here? Kind of thing. And
yeah, that was the other thing I really didn't like was this is like a super smug Dredd. Like, oh, the lethal range is 200 meters. What are you doing down there? Like all that crap.
Once Stallone got involved, he wrote Rocky and, you know, he is an Oscar winning
which is a great movie, right? Writer. Rocky's amazing.
But all of his movies, he likes to come back in and punch up the script. And,
oh yeah, you gotta punch it up.
And this one, he wanted it to be kind of funny, which I don't
would
think.
You, did you think
funny.
He? I think he really punched up Rocky.
Yeah,
because punching and boxing.
he saves the day. He kills the gang, and you know, you see a bunch of his like technology, and this is stuff that was pretty cool. Like he had the voice.
The lawgiver was really cool. The
voice,
like
the voice gun, yeah. And it worked really well. You know, he killed a bunch of guys really fast. He gets pulled into the office by. What's the main judge name? Judge
Fargo.
Fargo.
Chief Justice Fargo. Yeah.
So he's kind of like, that was a bit excessive. It's extreme. And kind of tells him, it's like, you're too by the book. Like, you're a great judge, but you're too by the book. And then he wants him to teach the academy. And there's this little joke. And he's like, what is it? Unarmed combat or marksmanship? And he's like, ethics. And he has this weird scene with like the teenagers, gives this big speech. And Diane Lane's character was like, you think the way you talk about this, you think like none of them are going to survive. And he's like, most people don't, which is true. Like, it makes sense. Like, by the end of this, almost every judge in the movie dies.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's hard being a judge, man.
So right away, it splits back into Armand Asante, who plays Rico, who is his brother slash clone. And I remember watching this movie as a kid thinking, these guys look nothing alike. Why are they calling them clones? But I guess like the DNA has been manipulated, and they're more brothers than clones of each other.
Yeah, they're close enough for the purposes of a weird sci-fi genetic cloning experiment to make. I think it was to make like the perfect judges. Like,
yep.
Yeah. So you know that all is well and good. I mean, I accepted that. I was way more accepting of it this time
Me
around.
Too.
I think I would agree.
I always made fun of it before. Asante as Rico actually did a pretty good Stallone impression. Like, there's certain things that he said where he kind of got the same kind of tone and inflection that Stallone got.
Yeah, he's like supposed to be like a dark version of Dredd, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It worked. It worked fine for me. That wasn't my gripe with the movie at all. Something
yeah,
I don't know.
So he kills a couple people, and because they are clones of each other, or clones of Fargo, he has the same DNA.
Yeah.
So they basically, and he's wearing Judge Dredd's badge, so Judge Dredd
which
gets,
cannot be replicated.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's one of the big things that
No, the big reveal is the gun that it stamps all the bullets
DNA, and they didn't know. One of the big problems I had with this movie was right then, there's some amazing future tech, and we'll get into this a little bit more when you go into the world, but they've got flying cars, they've got the gun that each bullet can change. Like, they talk about how this is bullets that can change, so it's not like it switches bullets in the gun to do the explosive rounds.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
each
yeah.
bullet has all of these things in it. So they've got
You just got to tell the gun what kind of bullet you want, and it shoots it.
Flying cars. You've got these weird, like when they're in the motorcycle scene, you've got these like holograms that open and close, so vehicles can pass.
Yeah, the prototype flying motorcycle that they're working on.
But it wasn't really
a pro. Cool.
Like there was a bunch of other ones that worked. Yeah. So that was weird that one didn't work. It is what it is.
That's true.
But
that was strange.
No HD displays to be heard. Like that display, like you could not see anything on that camera footage of Dredd killing him. It was super.
Well, they make a, and they call it out. They call it, the resolution is too low to identify.
Yes, they do call
him
it, but it's like, it's just weird that that's even a thing in that world. So he gets convicted of killing these guys. The Judge Fargo decides to step down and ask for a favor to, you know, give Dredd life in the ISO cubes versus.
And he takes the long walk, which, to bring law to the lawless.
That actually bothered me. Like, I'm not sure if that, I'm sure that's part of the comic books, but.
It is.
What a shitty life as a judge. So you, if you're lucky enough to make it to old age, to
that's
retirement,
the retirement,
you go out into the world. Like, you basically go into the wasteland to die, like an Eskimo who's put on like a block of ice and pushed off to sea. Like, and that kind of didn't make sense with the whole Hershey thing. She was like, I have friends outside of work. Like, you could have a life outside of being a judge. It's like, but no, as soon as you retire, you go.
What it does for me in that, it makes it like those that have dedicated their lives to the law, right? Like, Dredd has no friends. The law is their religion, you know? Like, he's going out into the wasteland to, like, almost preach the law to these savages out there. So, I mean, it works within the movie. It's really weird, and, like, it's kind of unsettling and doesn't make a ton of sense, but I think within the context of the movie,
within the context and what ends up happening in the movie later, it needed to happen because it's very convenient that this happened. So,
of course.
So once he steps down, it's Judge Griffin takes over, and it turns out he's working with Rico, and he orchestrated all of this stuff. They tell like these cannibals that are out in the desert that this plane's going to come around. They shoot the plane down, and we act like they're going to eat Judge Dredd.
Well, the cannibals are the Angel Gang, which are also characters from the 2000 AD universe, right? So like the mean machine angel, all of those are, all those characters are pretty iconic, right? Like the mean angel especially, and the, I mean the
That's
makeup.
The cyborg guy, right?
Yeah, the one with the big arm and the headbutt guy, you know, with the dial on his head.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a... That's a classic character in the Dredd universe. Like, and I thought that costume or costume makeup, whatever you...
It was great. It was really good.
It was amazing. Yeah. It looked gross. It was gruesome. It was terrifying, but it looked organic and real.
It looked real. Like, I would believe that there was that guy was in that room.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That was pretty cool. Judge Dredd and Rob Schneider get rescued by Judge Fargo. Fargo ends up getting killed. Judge Dredd and Rob Schneider get back into the city. They immediately go and fight Rico, and you know, they saved the day.
There you go.
That was
that's
basically
the movie.
That's the movie in a nutshell. So there were a few scenes that I really want to kind of talk about.
Yeah,
the one, I don't remember what her name is, but she was like the Asian scientist. I could not get her character, and I don't know if the actress did. So initially she seemed super annoyed by Rico, like, you know, he's just a petulant child. But then she later on seemed like she was really aroused by him. And then when he goes to put his DNA in the machine instead of having Fargo's DNA, she like flips out. She's like, you can't do that. He won't take that. And then Griffin comes and Rico's kind of like, get over it.
Yeah. And there are way grosser ways to put your DNA into a machine.
So Rico, like, he's like, deal with it. And during that time, like when he's like telling Griffith, or Griffin, to like deal with it, she like takes off her jacket and is like, has like this huge push-up bra and starts showing cleavage, and she's like, yeah, look at Rico, kind of thing, like really liking him. So her character was really weird and confused me.
Yeah, it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
And so she just kept switching, like, whether she liked him or hated him, and then, like...
I think it was just, like, whatever was appropriate for the scene, I guess, at the time, or whatever was the most inappropriate for the scene at the time. I don't
really
know where that was coming from at all.
Yeah, so that was just little things like that. Like, I liked a lot of little things in the world. I think that didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, there were minor things that didn't make sense. Nothing about this, I think, really jumped out at me and took me out of the movie.
No, like, that
know?
Was the only thing that kind of, like, I was watching that, and, like, her character didn't make sense to me, but overall, it worked, actually. So there was a few
things. I think so,
the world,
man, I
did
agree.
Work. Like, I wanted to just come into this.
This is one of
those
movies where I feel like we would fight each other a lot. I'm very surprised
that we're not. Yeah. So yeah. I kind of want to, let's say, I guess, just go into Judge Dredd. himself. So looking at the costume, like his costume, I think is more in line with the comic books.
It's very stylish. It's more in line with the comic books. It is, I would say it's overly stylized, but in a way that I liked.
Except for the boots. Right? Those boots,
the boots
had those
looked
that weird
a little
heel.
Too much like goth boot,
and he couldn't
thing.
Walk
and
in
the
it.
Cod piece was unnecessary as well.
Yeah,
like the
those are
the
two things
not...
that I wrote down. Cod piece and boots are ridiculous. He can't even walk.
Right, but the shoulder armor looked really cool. It was
the
like
shoulder
really
armor's cool. The helmet
new,
was cool,
stylish. Yeah, the helmet was cool. It was very sleek. Very. It was cool. The bikes looked cool, right?
Like yeah, all the vehicles looked really cool. The weapons all were good.
The judge stuff looked... The judge... the building, the Hall of Justice or whatever, looked really cool. Like, all of the judge gear was consistent, I guess, in the way that it looked,
so,
right?
So, yeah, the costume overall I thought was great. How do you feel about Stallone as Dredd?
Versus Carl Urban or just Stallone as Dredd?
Just how do you feel about... Because we'll talk about Carl Urban later, but how do you feel about Stallone as Dredd?
I felt that Stallone as Dredd is just... I felt like I'm just looking at Stallone, you know? Like, I can't get past the actor.
Yeah,
you know?
I had the same problem.
I'm seeing Stallone in a Dredd costume. I'm not seeing Judge Dredd.
I had the same... That's the same thing. Like, I think it worked for the 90s. And because, you know, 95, 96 was in that era. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was still doing stuff until about 98. So in the early to mid 90s was when we started seeing like the American action hero on its like decline. But really, yeah. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, they all pretty much played the same character every time.
But maybe like, is that what audiences wanted at the time? Like, did you want to see your
I think that was on the tail end
as
of that.
A different guy? Like, I don't know that. Yeah, it was definitely, I would say it was disappointing.
Yeah,
you know?
It was just
like,
him yelling his lines like he normally does.
And then also the Dredd that you get in this movie, I mean, he's got his helmet off for 95%
of
the movie.
Except for like that one scene in the block war.
At the beginning, at the very beginning. The block war at the beginning is the only real Dredd
you get.
That
he was judging.
Yeah.
There was one thing that actually bothered me where he was right before he got arrested, so... For whatever reason, he's like on the street. Hershey's pulling over somebody who was driving without a license, and he comes down and he's like, "You need help with this?" And then he just takes over the case, and he ends
and
blows up the car. And I'm like, I know this is an extreme, you know, fascist kind of world. I don't feel like that's something that Dredd would do. But I never really read the comic books or anything, so I'm going to default to your judgment on that. But
no,
I mean, wrong.
You're just destroying property. Anybody walking by that car could have been killed. Like, that's not very consistent. Yeah. Like, just the destruction of it doesn't matter. Like, I feel like in a Dredd universe, that dude would more than likely just end up... He would have killed the guy. Like,
yeah.
He wouldn't have killed the car. He would have killed the guy.
You know, the I am the law, his yelling of it was... pretty good, but it was still just Stallone yelling that line. I did like that scene when Rico was like, why did you judge me? And he's like, you lost your mind. You killed innocents. It was, you know, the price that needed to be paid. He's like, it's against the law. And he's like, and then Rico kind of makes fun of him. He's like, the law.
I did like that
interaction. I did like how they interacted, but you know, it was just another Stallone movie. Going into the world, I was really impressed. Like, I had to look up some of this stuff because the world is drastically different than the 2012 Dredd. Like, this opening crawl says that this is supposed to be like slums and it's a wasteland and everything outside the walls are. You know, there were flying cars. There still seemed to be the ultra rich. There still seemed to be people. And obviously, there were the poor and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it did seem like their society was still flourishing to an extent.
I would say that this world is more similar to the comics in that, yeah, within the walls of the city, you know, there's a functional society. It's governed and kind of policed by a very fascist police force. Like, the judges obviously are like the epitome of fascism, right? Like, they can just kill you. Like, they're the judge, jury, and executioner. But like the aesthetic of it showed a certain amount of prosperity.
It
for
did
some,
like
right?
having all the flying cars. I was really impressed in general, like how good the special effects were. Like, I was expecting
it to be terrible. Totally hold up.
Like, this was a couple years, like 3 years before Fifth Element, and the Fifth Element's considered to be like the pinnacle of practical effects, and I thought that this was as good, if not better, in many regards.
And I almost wish we'd had Xavier on this podcast. He's all about that kind of stuff. But I do think it is apparent that there were like craftsmen and women working on the stuff that you see on screen, right? Like the cars look really cool, the buildings look really cool. There's a lot of cool, like, neon, the holograms that you mentioned.
Yeah, those holograms
like,
are cool.
It's all very fleshed out, you know? It looks like a living,
breathing... And the wasteland
breathing...
was cool. Like, I'm glad that we got a little bit of the wasteland. Like, briefly see the prison colony when Rico breaks out. That scene, oh, God, that scene was dumb as hell, actually. I want to talk about that scene really quick. the warden himself somehow receives a gift for Rico and is like, well, I guess I should go give Rico, this most wanted maximum security guy, his gift. It's like, why are you giving a prisoner a gift?
Yeah, personally, I should give it to him.
Personally, why was this gift not inspected? Because he opens it up and it has Rico's badge. So he's like, why would you think that it's okay to give him this thing? And then the box turns into the gun and he like shoots him in the throat so the guy can't. The warden can't turn off the voice-controlled security things.
Automated guns.
It was just a dumb scene. That was another scene that I thought was really dumb.
That was dumb.
But
it
I did like the clones at the end. I thought that they were really well done. Like, I thought they were scary
and
creepy.
They were super gooey. Yeah.
The robot was...
they were like underdone clones.
I did like the robot a lot. And what was interesting is this robot seemed
the robot's amazing.
Was like it stood up... it looked like a robot. Like, obviously, it was some sort of animatronic robotic... prop.
Well, that design of that robot like is directly lifted from the pages. Like it's perfectly executed.
Yeah, I really liked that. I thought it was really cool and it was scary.
It was terrifying. Like
on that scene when it's like
chilly,
just in the alleyway, and like it just kills like five or six judges, like nothing.
Those robots are supposed to be just like unstoppable.
So I was out of town this weekend. I was one of my best friends is getting married in a couple weeks, so it was like the bachelor party weekend. Five guys were watching this movie and we were all like, all of us sat down expecting to shit on it and just make fun of it. And we just sat there and watched this movie. Like, we didn't talk, we didn't say anything. We laughed at some parts. There was five guys fully engaged in this movie that I was expecting to be terrible.
Yeah. It definitely exceeded my expectations for going back through it. So wait, we hit Dread. We hit, what were we talking about? The Dread one.
We hit Dread. I don't, you know, I'm looking at my notes and I really don't see anything. Like I thought it held up. I'm sure we'll think of some more stuff to talk about when we start talking about Dread, with Carl Urban, but all in all, like it was a pretty solid movie for the 90s. You know, it was a Stallone set piece, but overall, like I think it did the character justice, you know?
Yeah, it didn't fail. Oh, justice. No, it didn't fail as a movie. I just, when you contrast it with Dread, 2012 Dread, is when you see its shortcomings.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair statement.
All right. I think it's time to dive into the 2012 Dread starring Carl Urban. Just right off the bat, that movie just starts. Like, so Carl Urban narrates...
The movie rips, dude. Right off the bat, yeah, he narrates the intro.
Like, his voice
was great. 800
million
people living in the ruin of the old world. And, like, all that stuff. And then I love when you get that, like, title shot where, like, the letters spelling out Dread appear on the screen in an explosion. It also reminded me that when I saw this movie in theaters, I saw it in 3D. And this is actually one of the very few movies in 3D where I was like, oh, damn, 3D's cool. Like, it was worth it to see in 3D.
Yeah, I saw it in 3D as well. Yeah, with, like, the slow-mo scenes and the people getting thrown off the edge of buildings and that minigun scene. Like, there were some pretty cool scenes. And, like, it was nothing like, I'm going to have something fly out the screen at you. Like, there's nothing gimmicky about it. It was just a solid 3D movie.
It just worked, yeah. Like, none of it felt hokey. None of it felt forced, you know. It was very, very cool in 3D. Excellent use of 3D. And then, yeah, so, you know, the movie kind of takes off. And, like, the first thing you get, I think, is Dredd responding to... It's a chase, right?
Yeah.
He's chasing that van. And you know, you get kind of, well, no, you see him like gearing up, he's putting on all his gear, which, if we're talking about Dredd, in this movie, I think
much more tactical
gear, way more tactical. Like it's really just like motorcycle equipment, you know, like the jacket is a motorcycle jacket. He's wearing leather pants. He doesn't have like that huge eagle shoulder pad. Like it's very subtle.
You know? It's got a slight bronzy tint to it.
Yeah, it looks like kind of patinaed. Like it's not this super chrome look, you know? Like all of it looks worn.
He's kitted out to go and fight.
Oh, dude, just to go to war. Like just to do a one-man war on crime. And even when he's like chasing those dudes down and you know, I think they hit a pedestrian. He's like, they just killed an innocent.
I'm taking him down. Yeah, this
and
escalated.
They're like, oh, do you need backup? And he's like, no.
Yeah,
and he's
cool.
Like, oh, fuck.
He's much cooler.
Way cooler and way more understated.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all Stallone-y, you know?
Like, so basically, in a nutshell, like this one is a much more streamlined story. He takes down these guys who he's chasing, and then like it's just like a high-speed pursuit. He notices that they're doing a drug that slows down their perception of time. And he gets called into the judge's office, and they're like, hey, this person who technically failed by 3%, but she's a psychic, and we're going to have you field trainer for one day and see what you think.
And actually, to your question from before, where would like a Judge Death or a Judge Fear, Mortis, like all the dark judges fit in? Honestly, I think that this movie, even though on the one hand it is much more realistic,
It also touches
on these mutants. Yeah, like it touches on people with abilities.
I've watched this movie a ton. So this is a movie that's on constant rotation. And every time watch this movie, I text you. I'm like, I'm watching Dread again. And you text me quite often when you watch it. So it's one of these movies that you and I have talked hours about. It's funny, like I kind of forgot about the psychic aspect of it. So going into this, I was kind of like, you know, honestly, with the Stallone one, I thought that would be the one where you would see the judges, you know, I could see Judge Death going, because they
did have
the angels and they did have the robots and they have the flying city. Like, it is much more comic booky, but this one has psychics.
Throwing in all the shit. They were just throwing in everything they could throw in. And I think in this one, it would actually make more sense if you had like a weird supernatural extra dimensional presence, you know, like this of the two movies, this is the only one that has people with powers, you know, like. And she uses them amazingly throughout the movie.
Sense.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, it doesn't even take you out of the movie. Like, you're never like, what the fuck? They're psychic people? Like, you're drawn into it.
So basically, he's kind of like, this doesn't make sense. She failed. Like, and he tries to scare, like, 1 in 5 people do not make it past their first day as a judge.
Yeah, yeah.
Tries to scare her, and then he's kind of like, where's your helmet? She's like, it interrupts my powers. And he's like, well, bullet to the head will interrupt your powers too. He's not saying it like how...
It's not all shitty. It's not super smug.
It's
or
not
whatever.
Like he's not
like,
saying
it's
it like
very
a joke.
Matter
it's
of
just
fact.
Like, this is the world that we live in, and like I've seen some shit. Like,
and I really appreciated the way they set it up when he you know, his job is to take her out, right? Like take her to a crime. And you know, all of these potential locations pop up, right? And he's like, pick one, doesn't matter. Like,
well, and then he gives the stats and he's like,
a bunch of shit happens in Mega City 1 every day.
He says that there's 17,000 crimes a day. 17,000.
Where they go,
major
does not
crimes.
Matter.
Major crimes. So it's more than that. They only respond to 6%. Yeah. And I did the math. That's about 1,000 crimes that the judges get to.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
And, like, it doesn't matter where they go. And it kind of echoes, too, where, like, you know, later in the movie when they send the corrupt judges to take them out or whatever. And it's like, it's a meat grinder. And it's like, yeah, dude, it is. But, like, you know, there's, if you're going into this job thinking that you're going to make a real difference, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, this movie's way more bleak,
more realistic. Like, there's no flying cars. They're all just in vehicles. You do see
the city looks like a city of the future where it's just super dense and shitty, right? Like, it's not like, oh, well, in the future, we're going to have flying cars and neon and pools on rooftops. And like, no, it's all going to be
shit.
It's
just going to be
like,
getting worse because they're overpopulated. You know.
There's not enough food. This is also of the two movies, like, you know, in like, so Rob Schneider like hides out in the food robot.
Recycled food is good for the environment and okay for you.
So in the Carl Urban Dread movie, after he cleans up, like after he deals with the guys from the van, you know, he's like, Dread to control. We need, you know, medical assistance. And
oh, I love that.
Know, two bodies for recycle. Recycle in the Dread universe is taking human bodies to be processed into food for human consumption.
Shit, I didn't know that.
Like, recycle is not cool. You know?
Well, I like that. In addition to that part, so like, you know, two bodies for recycle, and then you see like the robot like cleaning up the floor, and then like there's an announcement like the shopping mall will be open in 30 minutes. So this is like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this happens at the mall several times
here.
A day. Yeah.
Two innocents, the bad guy.
Yeah, also the cops just shot a flare into a guy's skull.
So Stallone blew up that car. This was like the one part of the movie that I felt like Dredd, played by Carl Urban, didn't show restraint. Like, it seems like cruel and unusual to do that. And he's like, I said hot shot. And then, yeah, you know, it was cool to demonstrate the gun, but it seemed like totally unnecessary. And with that kind of thing, it didn't kill him instantly. Like, he could have still shot the hostage.
Like, it felt like he was trying to shoot a guy in the mouth.
Yeah. Like, if there was that rationale, but he shot the guy in the mouth, it slowly burned him. Like, he could have...
From the inside of his head out.
He could have still killed that hostage. So that bothered me a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, the plot is... Anderson.
It's the raid. Like, it would be unfair if we did not compare this movie to the raid.
No, it totally is. That's exactly what I was going to say. They get into it. Mama is the big gang leader, and it's just...
Leader of the Mama clan. But, like, her whole deal is so much more interesting than Rico, right? Like, she was abused. She was a prostitute or something. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, so she was
a
prostitute.
She, like, rose to power.
And then a pimp knifed her face. So she bit his dick off. And became her own gang leader, and then basically invented a drug and took over an entire building block by block.
Oh, yeah. She's totally bad to the bone.
Yeah, she was really cool. And, like, the world that she set up, like, I really liked, tore that guy's eyes out, and then, like, he had, like, these cybernetic robot eyes for controlling. That was pretty cool. That was Domhnall Gleeson, who's been in everything
recently.
That's
General Hux.
He was in Revenant. He was in Harry Potter. He was in Ex Machina.
I think Dredd was the springboard for him, honestly.
I'd like to think so.
I do, too. The thought gives me comfort.
So... I guess we can just head into, like, we'll go into some specific scenes in a bit, but going into the Dredd himself, like you said earlier, it's much more understated, it's much less smug. It's very much like he is doing this job. He knows that he's not making a difference, but he has to do it.
And also, I love it when it's revealed that Anderson is psychic, and she senses Dredd in the room, and she says she feels anger and control.
Yeah.
Right? Like... And I think that's, like, yeah, I mean, that really, you get the exposition of the entire character of that is Dredd in this movie, right? Like, he's got a lot of rage problems, but he's tempered by the law.
And he's a very honed, he's a weapon.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
What I liked about, like, this one, like, I know in the comic books, they only show Dredd's face, like, in flashbacks from, like, his childhood and teens.
They show some of that, or they'll show him, I think he had, like, a...
He had some reconstructive surgery.
To go undercover, but no, you don't get his full face, you know?
And in this, you don't get it either. The Carl Urban grimace, the scowl.
Way better.
Oh, way better.
Way better. And I think it's Carl Urban versus Stallone's vanity, right? Like... Carl Urban doesn't need his whole face in a movie.
So
he's Carl Urban.
Carl Urban is, I think, one of the most underrated, underappreciated actors out there. Like, anytime I watch a movie and I see him on there in the movie, I instantly like that movie better. I loved him in Pathfinder. I loved him in Red. I loved him in this. He was in Lord of the Rings. There was a point where he was in consideration to be Thor, and I was, even though he's not a big guy, I was like, I'm for it.
He's from New Zealand, right?
I'm not sure where he's from, but
I think he's from New Zealand.
He's something. He's from somewhere.
He's from somewhere.
For
definitely
sure.
Definitely from somewhere. I would bet money on New Zealand. Based on his personality alone and how I feel about him,
you think
I'm
he's a Kiwi?
New Zealand. I think he's a Kiwi, and that makes me like him.
All right. So, going into the world a little bit more, like we said, we've kind of went into it already. It's a little bit more bleak. So there was a lot of weird drone, like, not weird, but, like, drone shots and everything, and which was cool.
But look at the traffic, there
wasn't very much traffic for, like, a city that's supposed to be as populated as it is. I was like, that's not so bad. Like, I live in LA, and the traffic was not
as bad. Maybe
that
many people don't have cars.
I guess.
Like, it's a fucking hell world. Like, I don't know. I bought it, and I like that they acknowledged, like, I think in the, you know, when they put up, like, the heads-up display shit or whatever, like, it says, like, drone cam 3, or I don't remember what number it was, but, like, it definitely acknowledges that the police force is using drones to surveil this area, which extends, I think it's from, like, Boston to Washington, D.C. or something.
It's one,
like,
mega city,
yeah, and it's all concrete, and it's all buildings, and it's, they did a better job, too, of making it, like, like a mishmash of existing structures versus the mega blocks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's buildings that existed, and then there's future buildings built kind of over the top of them, you know? And I really liked the way they did, once they get stuck in peach trees, like the building is equipped to do like a war mode where it all shuts down, right? Like the blast shields come up and like,
yeah,
like all of those, they're
like those buildings built would to need withstand to have
nuclear
that.
War. Yeah. Like the rest of America has been bombed out to shit. And so new structures would, it makes sense that they could lock down an entire building, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we haven't talked about this very much, but I feel it was great. Like, I don't really have any particular scenes. Like, there was just a few notes that I had, like, you know, just little things that are kind of funny. Like, that minigun scene was really cool. Oh, they had, like, three miniguns, and they just destroyed an entire floor, and he uses an explosive round, and he blows out a wall, and there's just, like, a skate park 70. They said they were on floor at least 75, because they mentioned that the elevator didn't work except for 75 and above.
Yeah.
So from 75 to 200 stories, there's a skate park out there. Like, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
I did the Anderson psychic scene, like, when she's, like, battling the gang member.
The guy.
And like
Avon Barksdale from The Wire.
Yep.
I don't know his real name.
So he like is like, my fucked up head beats your fucked up head any day, and he's trying to like dominate her and like act like he's gonna rape her, and then goes with it like she's gonna like go down on him, and then she's like, that's not me. And then he looks down and it's Lena Headley, and she like bites off his dick, and then she just like dominates his mind and gets all the information. Pisses himself.
She gets him right in his fucking mind. Fuck that
and
guy.
And that was great.
That also has the scene with Dredd. I think you see Dredd, and then behind him is like a tattered American flag.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they're in that room, and like she's going nuts on his mind, and he's just like staring him down because he's trying to beat the shit out of him. Like he's trying to beat information out of him physically, and then she goes into his mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and that was really cool. The other thing that I really, really, really loved is, just to contrast with the Stallone movie, is the delivery of the I am the law line, where in this one, Dredd is alone, right? Like I think Anderson has been taken from him, right? They have her captive. He's alone. He patches into the building's PA system and announces to everyone there, where he's just like, Mama's not the law. I'm the law. And it's like, it's a whisper. It's not this weird,
it's not
super
just yelling,
big dick
it's
yelling.
It's just a statement of fact.
Of fact.
And then
he goes
floor by floor. And then those three.
Kills
was what,
everyone.
He kills not just everyone, like all the criminals. He also kills like three judges.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like, dude, if you're not with me, stay the fuck in your apartment.
Well, yeah.
Because I will kill you.
And then like the. Like, when that first judge comes up to him, he's like, you didn't ask about Anderson. You're a bad guy. And fucks him, like, breaks his neck. You know, I loved his kit with, like,
it. Because they also built it up to where he was, like, running out of ammunition and, like, using the corrupt judges to, one,
restock.
Make a great scene in the movie and also resupply your hero with more bullets was perfect. It was seamless, and I really appreciated that.
You know what scene I really liked? And it wasn't even one of the main action set pieces. But the right when they went into lockdown and they decided that they were going to try to go to that med bay and get that guy to help them. Like, at first they were just like, we're going to find one place to defend. And then that guy's like, we're not going to let you in. But on the way there, you know, he's like, call. He's like, well, going up or going down is basically the same thing. So let's just keep going. So like gas grenades, put the ventilators on, and they go and it's just precision. Just pop, 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 pop.
Bam,
like,
bam,
just
bam,
every.
Bam.
There was no wasted shots. He never missed. He never.
So,
like,
many
in the Stallone one, he's.
Killed.
In the Stallone one, he goes rapid fire and he just goes across the room, shooting through walls.
No,
and
it's
takes
super
on.
Tactical.
Everything like, in this is tactical. Like, he does not. And he even says it later on. He goes, we're running low on ammo. Do not shoot unless you know you're going to hit. And they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. They hit every time. So, like, I really liked that. The world we've already kind of talked about. I don't have anything more to say about this movie. Like, the only if I'm going to be talking about this movie is I'm just going to keep saying it's cool.
The last part would be the design, you know, the aesthetic of it, which is, I mean, we touched on it being way more bleak. We touched on it being much more tactical in terms of the costumes. Like, everything had a function in this one. There was no extra bullshit just because it looked cool.
Yeah, there was no,
you know?
chase sequence that, you know, with the flying motorcycle. There was no just
exactly
hand-to-hand brawl combat, just jumping off of buildings or going through a flaming hallway. It was just...
And it was very human in a weird... I felt in this movie the dread you get is a heavily armored cop, but he's still a cop, you know? Like, this is just a man.
And he did have a small arc, not a huge arc, but at the end, it was really risky. So the ending, the climax of the movie is he gets to Mama, they kill everybody. She ends up putting, like, this device on her wrist that syncs to her heartbeat. And so if she dies, the building blows. So she has enough, like, dynamite to take out the top 50 floors, which will collapse it all. And he's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll chant. Did you put in any thought into how far that range is? And he shoots her and then gives her a huge dose of the slow-mo. And they say somewhere in the sort of perception of time is 4% of real time. So
Yeah.
And so he throws her down and he takes the chance that it's not going to blow up.
Well, two things about that, though. One, I love that he throws her down. It doesn't collapse the whole building. And he's just like, yeah, that's his only reaction to
it. He does.
And then the other thing is the violence that they use in the slow-mo, like, because it is slowed down, is artistic. It's beautiful.
Like the shot through the cheek.
The way the blood, like, erupts from
and the light hits it and glistens.
Yeah, and it's really sparkly, like... I don't know, man. Like
it works.
It's like nothing else. Like it. You know what it really reminded me of was like. I mean, you remember like music videos? I mean, remember music videos?
I do
were
remember
a thing
music.
That you
I used
could
to
watch?
Go home and watch TRL when I was like fifth, sixth, seventh grade,
or like pop up video or whatever, where like they had like 2 minutes for a song to make like some cool visual shit happen, and like I felt like a lot of the slow-mo deaths were like. Like that kind of aesthetic, you know, where it's just like, oh, we're going to burst a skull, but like the way it explodes is captivating. You know, it's like a kaleidoscope
You know what I really liked? I think my favorite dread moment in it, and it was really, so right after they did like the minigun scene where they destroyed everything, and then they come back out. They're like, well, we're going to have to go back in the building. We can't stay out, you know, here. They're going to come for us. So he tells Anderson to, like, take the guy somewhere. And so he goes and he finds, like, a henchman. He goes. He looks at Mama across the way and just chucks the guy over the edge and then walks back into the mist.
Good.
Like, it's just, like, the fog from the rubble. And he just walks away just slow. I thought that was such a cool shot.
He's just like, fuck you, bitch. He just, tosses that guy over and is like, you didn't kill me.
I've got nothing else to say about this movie. I could talk about this movie for hours and just scene by scene. I love the scene at the end, you know, when they just ask about Anderson. Like, she's like, I lost him. Like, she lets Domhnall Gleeson go.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't do that. And she's like, I already failed. Like, I'm still in charge. I'm letting him go. And then... they go through everything, and then the Supreme Judge is like, what'd you think? She's like, she's a pass. And, like, that's just, like, that's it. And then he has, like, another little thing, like, yep, this world sucks, but I'm going to keep doing it kind of narration.
Well, so in the comics, like, the way it works is the judges are, like, round-the-clock judges, right? Like, they're on the streets all the time. So I'm sure if we have any listeners that know more than me, they'll correct me, but... the way it works is, like, the judges sleep in, like, these pods where, like, an hour equates to a full night's sleep, right? So they're always on the street. Like, there's no real downtime for the judges in that kind of – in the Mega City 1 universe, right? They're not off the street for very long, so they're always out there doing this. And I think that's what I loved so much about this movie was if that were your life where you got a simulated 8 hours sleep for 1 hour – and you're out there doing this job that you know makes no difference. Like, you're not going to get to a point where, like, oh, yeah, crime is down in Mega City 1. Like, you're never going to have that. Like, that's just not part of it. So, like, what makes the Dread character in this movie so amazing is, like, he's just into it. This is all he knows. This is all he could do. He couldn't go, like, oh, just have a regular job. Like, he likes fucking fighting for his life all the time.
So I think we just need to, you know, go through and say, you know, final thoughts, like whether or not this movie, because the Judge Dredd 2012 is the remake, is the reboot. I love this movie, and it's
I love it as well.
But going through and rewatching these, like, I think the Stallone one worked as much as it was just a Stallone set piece. It's what
I think they both have a place.
They both, they have a place. They're both drastically different interpretations. I'm glad this movie got made.
I would say to anyone wanting to get like into Judge Dredd, if you don't know what the character is about or what the world is about, like, you have two great examples, like great introductory pieces to watch.
So, like,
watch them both. You'll love
ultimately
them both.
Like, this is like, I think you said this with Shin Godzilla. Like, this was a movie that I would have never asked for, but glad that I got. And this is one of the first few movies, one of the first movies
in a
long time.
I'll tell you honestly, I didn't know this movie, the Carl Urban movie, was a movie until it was in theaters.
There wasn't a lot of advertising for it.
There was nothing that built it up, and then I was like, oh shit, Dredd, that's a movie? I have to go see that. And then my wife and I did, and we're like, holy shit, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, this was a movie that I saw with my friend. So my friend who passed away a couple months ago from a car accident, this was the last thing I did with him before I moved to San Francisco. So it has a pretty dear spot in my heart because it was one of the last things I did with my friend. So I definitely think this movie has its merits. I definitely think they both should exist. This is one of the first movies in a long time that I'm like, I really want to see a sequel. I hope it gets a sequel. It doesn't need one. It stands on its own. And Carl Urban,
I think what also makes this is
Carl Urban loved this role. He's been trying to get, he's willing to do it as an Amazon TV show, a Netflix TV show.
It's funny that you bring that up too, because I would say if you contrast the two movies, it does seem like Carl Urban is enjoying being the character more than Stallone.
I agree.
Like, so, he's having more fun with the role.
The way he talks about it after the fact, like, he just seems like he enjoys it. So,
Definitely. And also, Carl Urban, if you're listening to our podcast, you're welcome on it anytime.
Keanu Reeves as well. Carl Urban and Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
Open
Keanu,
invitations.
Keanu, hit us up, man. Come on, guys. where are you guys at?
So I think we've talked it to death. Let's move into our news segment. So we've got two emails. One, man, I love this question. And it's a perfect time for this question, actually. So this is from Alex Ortega. I'm curious to hear your guys' opinions on how action stars have changed compared to the 90s and how it affects the remakes. Example, Stallone to Dredd, Schwarzenegger to Colin Farrell in Total Recall. I think this is a deep question. Like, there's so many ways that I can go about this, and I want to give Alex a full answer. So I think what's drastically different between action heroes this day and age and 80s and 90s is, when you go back to, I think Tom Cruise kind of started it with Mission Impossible 2, but Bourne gets a lot of credit for it, where it's the new action heroes are not these super ripped guys, but they're these guys who are just good at everything. So we kind of talked about it in Point Break last week. The new Johnny Utah is amazing and an expert in everything. Bourne knows all these languages. He's an expert combat, expert marksmanship. He can hack. He can do everything. I think that's what's kind of changed.
I agree. I think the other thing that's changed, though, is, like, you have less ego involved, right? Like, you have actors that want to be the character now so much as being themselves playing the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, a lot more. Like, when you see, it's one of those things when, like, ever somebody gets cast in a Marvel role, you always see them on, like, Instagram or Twitter, and it shows them, like, reading the comic books. Like, they want to become the character versus warping the character to fit them.
Exactly. Like, I think the Stallone Dredd is Stallone.
Warping
as
the
Dredd.
Yeah.
Whereas Carl Urban is, like, everybody's like, who's Carl Urban? Is he from New Zealand? Who's that guy? Like, I think he might have been in Lord of the Rings. Like, nobody knows who that dude is. But then he devotes himself to the role, and it's what the viewers get out of it is amazing.
I think the other thing is, coming out of the 80s and 90s, where it was super macho, you know, just muscles, like bodybuilders becoming, and wrestlers. And so you have Stallone, you know, and Stallone and Schwarzenegger being like bodybuilders, fitness guys, and then all the wrestlers. You've got Jesse Ventura, Carl Weathers, all these huge, larger than life guys. And moving into the late 90s to 2000s, the perception of what a man is has drastically changed as well. Like, I don't want to say like metrosexual kind of thing, but softer features, that, you know, smaller men became, like, if that makes sense, you know what I'm trying to say, like, like the definition of macho has changed so much. Like, you don't need to be 6 foot two, 300 pounds all muscle to be macho now. Like, that's not necessarily what a man is anymore. So I think that's made a big change. Like, Tom Cruise could not have been an action star in the 80s.
You know, I think the other thing too, though, like, is the way, like, you know, being a nerd or a geek or whatever, like, that culture has changed, right? Like, it's shifted to where, like, people, like, it's cool to like comic books, you know? It's cool to do, to geek out on these kind of movies, right? So, really, if you accurately cast a movie like this, like, in, you know, in 95, Stallone is Dredd. Well, we need an action dude to be Dredd, and Stallone's a big name, so we'll put Stallone in there. Whereas now, it's like, you can have a Carl Urban, you know? You don't need, like, this action hero to play the action star. You need someone who's right for the role.
Yeah, so people are more... Well, with the internet, and also having the internet be a thing, like, fan casting is a thing that's out
there. What the fuck is the internet?
So with fan casting being a thing, you know, there are people who've been cast because the internet's like, oh yeah, this person would be great for it. And then also, we're in a world of, like, superhero movies now, and the whole thing is these people have superpowers, so they don't need to be, you know, super muscular. Like, they're just super strong despite, smaller frames. So,
and
I think that's
dude,
changed.
I would say that's where those DC movies fucking fall apart, man. Like, cool, we got a Superman that's played by a super jacked dude who sucks at playing Superman.
Yeah.
Like, Superman is not super strong because he's super buff. He's super strong because he's a fucking alien.
Yeah.
Than he is in Earth's yellow sun. He could be a fat piece of shit and still be super strong.
So, our second email I got was from Jesus Rodriguez, and he says, are you guys planning on reviewing Captain America? If so, would you guys review the 1970 or the 1990 movie and compare it to the 2011 Captain America? I've seen the 1990 one. I don't remember there being... I know there's two made-for-TV Captain America movies. I've seen one of them.
Dang.
And it's like a rubbery latex suit with a motorcycle helmet. And then, of course, you've got the Chris Evans, Marvel MCU ones.
I have not seen those other movies, but to me, there's not another cinematic Captain America.
There's not. I can't... Going into it, we know they're just going to be crap movies. There's no way that... I mean,
the only thing that's crappy about Chris Evans is that he's also Johnny Storm.
And he's also... Like, I can't remember the other character, but he was also in The Losers, which is another comic book movie. So he's done three comic book roles.
Well, and just even if you just keep it to the Marvel Universe, he has played... two Marvel characters, which is a little bit weird. But as Captain America, he owns the role. He's taken charge.
I don't
of
think
it.
Any, it's just like if they were to, like, no one's going to be Iron Man other than RDJ anymore. If we were to do those movies, like, I would be interested in maybe watching those movies just for fun, but I don't think we could do an entire episode on those. We'd just be ripping on how terrible they are versus having any kind of intelligence conversation.
Yeah, I think it'd just be us being assholes, basically. What's strange, though, because we were talking about the made-for-TV, I recently watched It.
Oh, did you?
Like,
did
just
you watch
the
new
day.
Trailer?
I did watch the new trailer, but I also, like, just today, actually, I finished it. Watching It from the made-for-TV one. And so when I was a child, this movie scared the shit out of me. Like, this is a terrifying movie.
I've never actually seen it all the way through.
Oh,
like, I've seen parts
God.
Of it, but I've never seen it all the way through.
So for me, and I was able to pin it down this time as a 36-year-old man, that Georgie is one of the main characters' younger brother, right? The one that gets his arm ripped off and killed by the It monster. Georgie in that movie bears a shocking resemblance to my actual younger brother. And I think that's why that movie fucked me up so bad. Because, like, so his older brother, like, makes him this little boat, and he's sick and he can't go out to play with him, and then he puts the boat in the stream and it goes down the hole.
The
and
sewer.
That's all in the trailer, right? But dude, I'm telling you guys, when I was a little kid, I felt like shit. I might send my little brother to his death accidentally. And yeah, that movie is terrifying.
The,
so
the trailer, this new trailer looked pretty, pretty
Jesus,
scary.
Jesus, dude. Oh my God. It looks horrible. And also the clowns, dude.
This clown is
fuck,
way
fuck
gnarly,
clowns.
Too.
Like, oh, dude. Like, everybody's scared of clowns. We're all, oh, I'm so scared of clowns. Like, everybody's terrified of clowns. But, like, that's why. Like, for me, at least, it is why I'm scared of clowns. I'm also deathly afraid of flying monkeys. So, don't ever make me watch a movie, Michael, with flying monkeys.
So, no Wizard of Oz?
No. God. Okay. Oh, fair dude. Enough. I can't deal with it.
So, it was the thing that I was going to bring up with the new trailer. I thought it was a really cool trailer. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Spider-Man trailer just came out. And I just kind of wanted to... You know, I'm a huge Spider-Man. I've got thousands of Spider-Man
comic books.
Oh, yeah. You love
Spider-Man. Yeah, yeah.
So I've got a lot to say about it, but I kind of wanted to hear your impressions on it, and then I'll just say my two cents.
So I like the look of it. There's a lot I like a lot more than I don't. I guess the only thing that really kind of creeps me out about it is like that Tony Stark is so like on board with Spider-Man because it kind of seems molestery.
The problem that I have with
in
it
a
is
weird
not
way
that
he appears in his bedroom and is like sitting on his. Well, this was in
Civil War.
The last, where he's like in his room and he's totally ignoring Marissa Tomei as Aunt May, who's super.
Well,
hot.
No, he mentions it several times that she's
talk
hot.
Talk to your adopted child or whatever. Like it doesn't make a lot of sense, and then it seems a little creepy. Why Tony Stark is so interested in a teenage Spider-Man?
It didn't really make sense that he goes and gets a teenager in Civil War. The problem that I have with the Robert Downey Jr. not Robert Downey Jr. but the Iron Man Spider-Man thing as a Spider-Man fan is what made me relate to Peter Parker and Spider-Man as a child. Like, I've been reading his comic books since I was 7 or 8 years old. I stopped about 4 or 5 years, actually it's been longer than that, when they did they dissolved the marriage of him and Mary Jane. I grew up in low-income housing, and Peter Parker, you know, has always struggled with money. If he tore his costume, he would have to put a patch in it. There was entire runs where he would break one web shooter and have to function off of one, or he wouldn't be able to get the chemicals.
And as a child, you had to make all of your own
I made my own Spider-Man toys, where I had a Power Ranger toy that you I put a water balloon on one of those things.
Web shooter.
So
this wasn't like you could just go to Walmart and buy a web shooter.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
You guys, Michael had to craft his own. He had a hard life.
I used floss to do it. My big problem with it is from the very beginning, he is financed by a billionaire, and it takes a huge part away of who the character is.
Also why we need you guys to support us on Patreon so that Michael can make his own web shooters for once in his life.
So, like, his webs do some weird things. Like, there's one in the scene, like, he has a web that splits into two. There's another thing where he sprays a web at a car. And then a bad guy walks by, and then it shoots off the car.
He clearly has Iron Man tech.
And so that
kind of
bothers me
costume.
Quite a bit. But overall, it looks fun. I think Tom Holland
the kid's
is,
great, right?
Is
like,
great.
I mean, yeah.
That kid, he actually popped up a lot in my Instagram feeds and stuff because, like, you know, I look at Spider-Man stuff. Because
you just like him?
Yeah, I like him as a man.
I got the same for Kyle Urban, so don't worry about it.
He has all these things. Like, he was a gymnast and a dancer before, so he's by far the most accurate Spider-Man in terms of being able to do a lot of stuff.
The
most beautiful Spider-Man. So
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, dude. I got Jason Momoa on my Instagram.
But yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I'm glad that with the newest trailer and this one, there's a part where Tony Stark is like, I want the costume back. You know, you don't deserve it. And I'm hoping that by the end of the movie, Peter Parker's kind of like, you know, I want to make it my own. You know, I want to do my own stuff. You know, thank you. But from here on, like, I'll do my own repairs. Don't worry about it. And I'll be cool with that. And the last bit of news I have, and it's just kind of a minor thing, it just came out today, Samuel Jackson is going to star in the Blob remake.
Whoa, cool. That's really cool.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they just announced it today. So he actually mentioned this back before Kong was filmed, saying that he loved those movies as a kid. He loved the werewolf or the – what is not werewolf movie?
You know, and I didn't mention it on the Kong Skull Island episode – But I was really hoping that he would die in a similar fashion as he did in Deep Blue Sea.
Giving a speech. Where,
yeah, yeah. He was like, we got to work together or whatever. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I was really...
That's a great movie.
That seemed like a miss.
I would love for them to make...
Deep Blue Sea is a great movie.
I would love for them to remake Deep Blue Sea just so we can talk about it.
I could talk about Deep Blue Sea for ages.
Yeah, I love
that
movie.
That's an incredible movie.
All right, so I think we're done. You guys can follow us on all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at MDXPods. Dustin mentioned Patreon already, patreon.com/MDXPods.
Michael needs web shooters.
So in addition to the web shooters, I would like to get...
And microphones.
Microphone stands and everything like that. But yeah, if you guys can help us out with that, if you can't spare any change or anything, please like us, you know, tweet. Anything, share our content if you like this episode.
I mean, if you're like the people living in Mega City 1, we get it. You can't spare anything. You know, it's a hard life out there. It's hot in the streets. But if you can, we would definitely appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.